Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Well, thank you, Vicar. I am back. I've actually had the decency to turn up on my own
podcast.
Good
of you. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Was it all okay?
Even better, I would say.
I did get a note from Susie saying that you thought it was the best of the podcast.
Better than the real thing, as my mates in the U2 say.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, it's the Confessions podcast from your friends at Greatest Hits Radio. Sister Susie is in the saloon bar.
I am indeed.
Brother Matthew is in his gutter.
I am here.
And before we go any further, I have to say thank you, obviously, you know, officially for holding the metaphorical podcast fort. Can there be a podcast fort?
No, I don't think so. I mean, that's stretching the metaphor a little, isn't it? As we, defend the fort from other podcasts?
Well, I suppose so.
Is that what
from
we're
the
doing?
Less than 5-star reviews?
That's true, actually.
There isn't any, but if there were.
Of course. Yeah. Anyway, to the matter in hand, coming up on this podcast, we visit the parish notice board, catch up with what's been happening in the last few weeks. There's a roll call of shame for those whose confessions made it into the not-for-broadcast filing cabinet, which doesn't actually exist, obviously, but they're just stacked in a pile.
It's another metaphor.
It is. We're in the gym for the confession from the crypt. Actually, the gym is such a great place for confessions. We need a few more of those.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you can send them. You know where you have to send them. Anyway, of course, you get to hear this week's confessions from the show, including Timothy's translation transgression, Eviva España, Nigel's school prank, New Kid in Town, Roger's confession, Leave Those Kids Alone. But first of all, it's Luke's menthol mishap. Exhale, exhale, exhale. Breathe the pressure.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Father Simon, by the way, don't try any of this.
Oh.
Ever.
Good. I like it.
I have been married to my beautiful wife now for 36 years. And after all these years, we know each other's sleeping habits very well. When one is feeling under the weather, the other invariably is there to lend a hand to get the requisite good night's sleep. My wife, Gail, was suffering with the usual winter cold with associated congestion issues. After a few hours of blowing her nose on a regular basis, she eventually rolled over and asked me to pass her the well-known menthol vapor rub used by all.
Okay.
Not wishing to rise from my slumber too much, I left the bedside light off and made a grab of the said menthol rub from the bedside table. Passing it to her, I advised her to apply plenty to her nasal area and perhaps on the sinuses under her eyes.
Okay.
She followed my instructions, plunging her fingers into the pot and started vigorously applying the treatment. 30 seconds passes, and the whole house is woken by the screams of my wife, frantically running to the bathroom to submerge her face into a sink of cold water and scrubbing her face with some urgency. What did you give me, you fool? My face is burning off in here. Was the general direction from the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
That was the gist. I turned on the bedroom light, reached over to retrieve the bottle, only to find I'd passed her another well-known muscle relaxant from China with a reputation of generating a deep, warming effect.
Yes.
He peed. I got out of bed to offer my assistance, but was told that my services were not required I could return to bed. I followed the instructions, got back into bed and turned off the lights. Gail then returned to the bedroom, got into bed, and asked again for the menthol rub.
Yes.
This time I was not going to make the mistake, and before passing another bottle in her direction, I unscrewed the top and took a good sniff just to clarify the right product was being delivered. Sure enough, it was. Most definitely said menthol rub. And again, she applied it to the necessary areas. She thanked me with a slight hint of sarcasm and passed me back the bottle. A good night was had by all, eventually. The next morning, as is often the case, I felt myself feeling a little congested and decided to apply a little of the miracle rub myself. Walking up to my bedside table, I grabbed the bottle and plunged my finger in to feel a small piece of string embedded in the rub. Thinking this must be a fault during manufacture, I looked closely at the container to realise that it was, in fact, a menthol candle, not the required vapour rub. She'd liberally applied it to her face like a heavyweight boxer. And here's the thing, Father Simon, I have never had the courage to tell her of my second terrible mistake. And I ask you now for my forgiveness to clear the air, if you'll pardon the pun. I'm sorry for the muscle relaxant on your face, and I'm also sorry for the menthol candle on your face, but you're still beautiful.
Oh, you're still beautiful. Oh, nice. Oh, good.
Yeah, I think that's a kind of a nice bit of getting out of it. Still beautiful. At the end.
Sorry about that.
Sister Susie from the pub.
Well, Luke, I feel like I'm not sure you should put Vicks near your eyes. I feel like that would be quite stingy and sore. So I don't know.
Always follow the instructions on the packet.
Yes exactly. I just don't understand how you could get it wrong twice. You knew you were in a bad way after you gave her the other menthol rub, and then you didn't double check it. A smell is not enough. Turn the light on. You're all awake. Just check before you give it. I just think that I can't forgive you. You got it wrong twice.
Yes.
No good.
And I think everyone is now imagining, because most people have used muscle relaxant at some stage, it's the smell of the dressing room.
It's not supposed
to go anywhere near your face.
Definitely not.
What do you say, brother?
Here's an idea, Luke's wife. Why don't you get the menthol rub yourself? Why do you keep asking your husband to pass you the menthol rub? It's on the bedside table. Go round the bed and pick it out yourself, instead of always relying on your husband to pass it over. Also, feels like a bit of a hostage of fortune to keep the menthol rub right next to the deep heat, right next to the menthol candle. Feels like that was all always going to happen.
It's also a very crowded bedside table.
There's a lot going on that table, isn't there? So, for that reason, I'm going to forgive, because Luke's wife needs to pick out the menthol rub herself. You know, come on. We're all in this together. Get your rub yourself.
Okay. Scraping the barrel there, I think. There.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
My voice sounded really rough there on the first day back, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That smell that I'm imagining now is the smell of the jockstrap.
Yeah, yes. It is all... I mean, we probably don't want to explore this too much, but why are they keeping the deep heat right next to the bed? That doesn't make any sense. You don't put, you know, you put the deep heat on when you're straining your muscles. So when you're in
maybe
the gym.
Maybe it's shenanigans.
That's why we don't explore it too much. But came to mind.
Maybe the jockstrap is being used at some stage.
What?
Anyway.
No idea.
Well, that's an image.
Anyway, so that was Timothy's confession. It's created more confusion on the use of Vicks on the people's verdict.
Alphonse says, forgiven. It could have been worse. My dad always swallowed a spoonful of Vicks to treat his cold.
Really?
Yes. Swallowed? No.
I mean, no. Really?
That's not going to work at all.
No, so just to confirm, do not do any of that at home.
No.
Whenever it comes to any medication... Even the kind of medication that I'm on, especially the kind of medication I'm on, read the instructions.
Stick
to the instructions. Don't make it up as you go along.
Yeah.
Don't extemporize.
Really weird as well.
If it says take it with food, take it with food. Don't have it after a bottle of wine on an empty stomach.
No, that's true. Never do that.
This is very responsible broadcasting.
Yeah, we're doing very well, I think. Yeah.
Okay, let's do the parish notice board. Over to you, Matt.
Yeah, starting off, as we always do, with a roundup of the latest reviews. And, of course, ever, they're all going to be all 5-star. Joanna Smithy says, 5 stars. Lol. Thank you so much for making me literally laugh out loud. Best podcast ever. Ziggy says, 5 stars, brilliant. I wish there was a 6-star choice. I can never find a good podcast, and then my mum recommended this to me, and I can't stop listening. It's so funny. And finally, Ben in Shanghai says, 5 stars, jiechu, outstanding. A little bit of Chinese for you there.
Did you put any effort at all into getting the pronunciation right?
I did.
How was it again? I looked it up.
Jiechu.
Jiechu. Excellent.
I used to love listening to confessions back in the day, many of which are etched in my mind while listening in stop-start traffic, which would generally last the duration of a confession, along Ashleydown Road in Bristol. I subconsciously set my watch by you recently whilst doing the daily commute, but which these days is on the Shanghai Metro. I let out an audible screech of joy when, whilst looking at podcast recommendations, your podcast popped up. Back into my life. Suffice to say, I'm now getting some funny looks as I'm laughing and giggling and occasionally looking horrified behind the Great Firewall here in China. Keep up the amazing work.
I mean, that's very interesting. So actually, we've our podcast is allowed.
In China, yes. In Shanghai, yes.
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 So we could say, up with the workers, up with democracy and liberal values and a free press. How about that?
Is that, that's how we're going to start?
Well, no, I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just
no, we can start.
Will that get through the firewall?
Yeah, absolutely.
This could be sponsored by MI5.
It could be, couldn't it?
Anyway, very good. Up with the Enlightenment.
Yes.
Freedom for all.
Freedom for all. Yeah. Okay. I do remember, if you leave us a 5-star review, you could feature on this podcast next week, but it must be 5 stars.
Thank you very much.
5 stars, yes. I've got an email here from Jenny, who got in touch to say, "Hi Simon, Matt and Susie. We introduced my 6-year-old son to Confessions 2 weeks ago, and he hasn't let us listen to anything else since. Some of the jokes go over his head, but he's literally obsessed with the podcast. You've pushed the horn section off his top spot."
Well, yes, indeed.
She said, we're bad parents, which I think you're very good parents.
Yeah.
But she said she sent in her own confession to see if it makes the cut, and it'll blow him away to hear his mum's confession read out. But he's also be really excited for a shout out on the podcast, but she doesn't say his name. So Jenny's son, hi. And she says, P.S. his confession is that when he was a baby, he weed in his own mouth.
Oh, good work.
We used to do back in the old days, there used to be like 1-liner, 2-liner confessions from kids, who obviously don't want to spend ages writing out a side of A4. Thank you very much. It's still a great confession.
It is. Yeah. Weed in your own mouth.
I mean, that's okay. How old is that acceptable? You know, that's okay until you're 2.
Yeah.
But if you're like 11.
11.
25. Real no-no.
65, no.
Yeah.
Not doing that anymore.
So I don't know whether that one is actually going to make it on. The actual confession that's been sent in will make it on. But that's pretty good for a start. And if your kids are listening to the podcast and they've just got like a 1-liner or a 2-liner confession, that's going to be fantastic
as well.
No,
I'd love that.
So you send them all to confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Susie, you mentioned last week we got, apparently the mugs are back.
Mugs are back, yes. We have boxes of mugs to give away at our discretion.
And postcards. What's on the postcard?
The postcards, it's got a little picture of you on in the corner.
Is it the cartoony thing?
The cartoons, yeah.
Okay, very good. Okay, so
maybe you can sign them. And do a big signature over the main bit. But there's a little picture in the corner.
Okay, so should we make this something for the podcast then, so that that we give out mugs and postcards for particular people that we like on the podcast? Does that work?
I think so.
Well, basically, you're in charge. So this is a bit of
on-air production, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. Let's give them away then.
Okay.
Let's give them away. I heard her say that.
Well, I think.
Fine.
Who was the person who introduced their 6-year-old son?
Jenny.
Well, I think Jenny should have something then.
Yes.
Either a mug or a postcard.
Okay.
Trailing that blaze.
Or a postcard wrapped around the mug.
What?
I can do that.
Okay, something like that.
Okay.
Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Right, bumper roll call for Matt Cherry, Steve Burnett, Tracy Fly, Bill Pickard, James Buchanan, Norman Kelly, Joe Smith, Sarah Mogg, Muttley, and Dave Smith, who were among those who tweeted the secret code phrase from the last two podcasts, which of course have been Mummy and Your Chips, Kurt and Unfeeling, and Get Well Soon, Simon. Oh, that's so sweet.
Isn't it so sweet?
Yeah.
How lovely was that?
Didn't get
that's
anyone.
My choice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah,
see, yeah.
Not
classic.
Cabbage Cloud.
That's not a, Cabbage Cloud.
A production. Time for the dirty, grubby part where Susie rolls her eyes and Matt doesn't understand what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This is the not-for-broadcast section. Number one, John was working as a chef in a 5-star hotel, clocking into the sauce section for 8 a.m. after a night enjoying a different kind of sauce. Realised he needed to perform an emergency controlled evacuation. The fact that you went into detail of trying to find a fine balance between air and solid to a backing track of what sounded like a Hessian sack being slowly ripped apart was enough for it to land at the very top of the no chance pile. Never mind that you blamed the smell on a very expensive piece of steak and the butcher who supplied it got fired. I mean,
we're on quite a roll for the flatulence at the moment, aren't we? There's quite a lot of that. Yeah.
Justin, it might have been a harmless prank to pass the time while you all worked at a car repair service, stuffing a blow-up doll into the car book of your Matt Pete's car Wasn't really that funny, was it, when you think about it? Especially when the inflatable doll jumped out while he was helping two older ladies at the time.
Oh dear.
And if the precarious position of the doll wasn't enough for it to be not allowed at tea time, then the language that followed by everyone certainly took it over the line. In general, again, just help and assistance for future emails to the show. If your confession involves a blow-up doll, it's probably not going to get on.
No, just saying. Yeah, that and excessive flatulence.
Excessive flatulence.
Even though I find that hilarious.
Okay.
I'll just send them to you. You can have a private
pile.
Yeah.
Right, so let's get back to those that did make the cut. Here is Timothy's translation transgression, E Viva España.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Confess all. We won't tell anyone.
So today's confession comes from Timothy. Now, I should say, there is some Spanish involved.
Oh,
in this.
Excellent. Excellent, yeah?
I haven't run the Spanish past Matt, who's a fluent Spanish speaker. Uh-huh. I am going to go for it.
Great. And then, Speedy Gonzalez-style accent, yes, here's hoping.
But I don't want you to translate until we get to the reveal.
Okay.
You can just enjoy the Spanish.
I can enjoy the Spanish.
Along with everyone else.
Fabulous.
Timothy says, Father Simon, the forgiving souls of the congregation on Greatest Hits Radio. This confession is to ask for forgiveness for myself, as the blow is entirely my own fault, and I have no one else to pass the blame on to. Which is interesting, because there's almost always someone else to blame, but not in this case. Mm. When I was at school, a posh private one just outside Chester... Was that exclamation about
already,
Chester?
Already.
Or about the posh private school?
It was the posh private school.
I made friends with a boy called, for the sake of this story, Gonzalo. But in reality, his name was George.
Okay. I wonder where the Spanish bit's coming in. Anyway, carry on.
All was great with my new friend. He was funny, helpful, and actually shared his sweets. It's very important.
Wow.
Marvellous. When meeting my parents, including my Spanish mother, he was always courteous. All was great until his family and mine went on holiday to Spain, whereby George turned into a spotty, pointy, shouty type of tourist who made no effort to speak the local language, much to my mother's despair. Instead, he raised his voice, jabbed his finger at whatever he was talking about. We've all met people like this. Mm-hmm. George and I drifted apart when attending different universities. He studied history, not languages, surprise, surprise, until fate threw us together at a stag party 5 years ago, also in Spain. Much to my dismay, the years had not elicited any cultural reckoning with George, sorry, Gonzalo, who still shouted and pointed after whatever he was talking about and generally treating everyone local as idiots. That was until one night in a tapas bar in the old town, he asked me, a fluent Spanish speaker, how to tell the staff the meal was nice. I held out as best I could and nearly proffered the correct answer until the memory of the incessant tutting that came from my mother when on holiday with George, sorry, Gonzalo, years ago, every time he raised his voice and pointed, memories came flooding back and I thought it was time for some revenge, Duolingo style. So I told him, the best way to tell the locals your food was nice was to say, me duele el culo. Funny to Matt.
Yes. Very good.
And Spanish. How, do I get away with that?
Yeah, you did get away with that. Very good, yeah.
Now, George, sorry, Gonzalo, and I practiced the pronunciation, which I hope you're doing for your listeners. Me duele el culo. How would you say it?
Me duele el culo.
Me duele
el culo.
El culo.
There you go. Yeah, very good.
So we were practicing this, sat in a tapas bar to sniggers from the other diners until the bill came. Then George, sorry, Gonzalo, valiantly offered to pay while still shouting, announced to the bar, me duele el culo, whilst rubbing his tummy and pointing at his empty plate, to which the horrified staff scarpered to the back, fearing the worst. But everyone else continued to snigger. The phrase is, of course, translated into English as,
I've got a pain in my bottom.
have to say, Google Translate was slightly more vulgar.
Was it really? Yes. I mean, family radio and all that, you know.
Is there a suggestion of something slightly more vulgar?
No. Oh, well, no? A little bit more vulgar than bottom.
Yes.
But I've toned that down, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Timothy says it's my bottom hurts, but anyway, I've got a pain in my bottom.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
I thought he may have realised that I'd done him a dirty, but upon meeting him at a family-run tapas bar this very week, Father Simon, this week, he still proudly tells the staff, made to El Culo, as he did this weekend, to the grins and snickers of staff, whilst telling me, it always pays, you know, yes, to know some of the lingo. And I'm a fluent Spanish speaker, says Timothy. I don't seek forgiveness for setting him up, but I do seek forgiveness from all the Spanish-speaking people that George has encountered in the past 5 years before telling them in perfect Spanish that his bottom hurts. I mean, I think I know which way this is. I'm almost certain I know which way this is going to go. Let's see what Sister Susie thinks.
Well, Timothy, I feel like your friend was very rude, wasn't he? Gonzalo or George. And, you know, he wasn't very nice to all of the people he's met before. So I feel like I have to give you forgiveness because you didn't really do anything wrong apart from, you know, get a little bit back on him on behalf of all the Spanish speakers out there. So I am going to forgive you today.
I thought that was... I think it's going to be a 2-0 situation.
Yes,
here.
I think it definitely is going to be 2-0. I remember being in a similar situation where a friend of mine, when I was in Spain, wanted to know what I love you is in Spanish. And I gave him a phrase which was definitely not I love you.
What was it?
It was... Well, I can say it in Spanish, but don't ask me to say it in English. Vete con el diablo.
Which
would mean it doesn't mean I love you.
Will we get complaints now from our Spanish speakers?
So basically we'd all do the same, wouldn't we? If you spoke the language and you thought this person needed teaching a lesson, then you'd tell them a phrase like that. And inspired that he's still doing it now. The fact he's still doing it now.
And this last weekend.
Even better, so definitely forgive him.
Well, some fabulous Spanish. We did rehearse, and obviously Matt being in the studio is a great asset at all times.
Obviously. Mm-hmm.
It prompted Hannah to get in touch. Just to say, as a returning student from Spain, charged with teaching a Year 7 group of Spanish learners, in sudden absence of their teacher, I taught them the days of the week. Matt, do you want to just read this bit?
Lunes, martes, miércoles, cojones, jueves, sábado, domingo.
So if you do speak Spanish, we do obviously apologise for what happened in the middle of that, because one of those is absolutely not a day of the week.
Which the cojones.
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 That's not. What's that?
Something else. What should we say? When you...
You're the dog's cojones.
There you go. Well done. Well done.
Your guy made me, me duele el culo, absolutely forgiven.
Yeah, okay. That was very good.
So, thanks very much. We do like confessions which have got some foreign language in there, some accents. I only do a certain number of accents. Obviously, most accents won't be done because I would just be patronising and offensive.
Uh-huh.
But you can always stretch me if you want. See where we go. Still to come on the podcast, there's a gym malfunction in the crypt, and Nigel is very pleased with his school prank confession. New kid in town, but not before Roger's confession. Hey, teacher, leave them kids alone.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Roger, and we're back in school. Father Simon, Sister Susie, Holly, and Brother Matthew. I then removed the line because it was a little bit inappropriate.
Oh, was it?
Yes,
oh.
From a political point of view, you understand.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I'd like to throw myself on your mercy for sins I committed nearly two decades ago when I was a fresh-faced, newly qualified teacher. I'd finished my training year and secured a job at a school that was in the process of becoming an academy back when very few schools had made the switch. On my first day, the head had come to see me to apologise that a class... 10B2 class, were on my timetable. She said this was a very tough class, and mostly they were taught by senior leaders. But timetable restrictions had meant they'd had to put me with them. As it happened, I actually got on really well with this class, with this unteachable bunch of students, and very much enjoyed my lessons with them.
Oh.
They were a great set of kids, and when it came to my observation at the end of the first half term, Because the relationship was good, they turned into the most perfect class you could imagine. And this, while two deputy heads were in the room. Imagine that. This itself had a knock-on effect, as all the senior leaders that couldn't get them to do anything in their lessons came to see me, and they were perfect every time. I think this is Roger just bigging himself up because of the crime he's about to commit.
Oh, right.
Now, these, Father Simon, were different times. And as we approached half-term, I told the students I had some great lessons planned for them in half-term week, which surprised them. They said, sir, it's half-term, we're not in. To which I replied, ah, have you not been told? Now we're in an academy, we don't have to follow those national school holidays, and half-term is only for people who have zero behaviour points. And you've all got a few, so you're all coming in. This led to 15 of them arriving at the head's office that lunchtime to complain about their lack of holiday, to which the head laughed and said, you need to stop listening to everything that Roger tells you. Now, I'd like to say it stopped there, but unfortunately, no. This class had me for maths and various deputy and assistant heads for everything else. And then another NQT, newly qualified teacher, let's call him Long John. They had Long John for information technology. Now, Long John and I were good friends and had played many a prank of various classes, but I worry I had taken things too far. Long John was a large gentleman. He played offensive lineman for a local American football team, but in his youth had been very much in shape and had won gold at various junior world taekwondo championships. He'd shown 10B2 some photographs, and they came in to tell me all about it, to which I told them he'd made it all up. You don't want to believe Long John. He's an IT teacher. He knows his way around Photoshop. Anyway, they believe me. And then one day, and I don't know why, I mentioned that about Long John. I said, isn't it incredible how he gets around on that wooden leg? You what, sir? He's never mentioned it? Oh, well, don't tell him I told you. It's not something he likes to share. I thought nothing about this for a week or so, but then one Tuesday, Long John burst into the staff room very red in the face and shouted, you need to stop lying to 10B2. Having forgotten my lie, I asked what happened, and he said, they asked me if I had a wooden leg, and when I said I didn't, they wouldn't believe me, and then Charlie grabbed hold of me and tried to take it off. He tried to unscrew it one way, and then he tried to unscrew it the other way.
Oh, my.
This caused the staff room to roar with hysterics, which made Long John even madder, and out he stormed. So here I am nearly 20 years later and hopefully wiser, asking for forgiveness from Long John, who did eventually calm down and see the funny side, and the long-suffering head, who may have had more occurrences of 10B2 being mad at the new school rules. Anyway, Roger kind of set himself up, I think, at the beginning, so that we know that he's a good teacher, but he likes to have a laugh.
He does,
especially when Long John is concerned. Yeah. What do you say, Sister Susie?
Oh, Roger, I just feel like you were, that class, you know, you were told that they were quite a tough class, and you probably should have set a better example, I feel. You should have taught them the right way to do things and not encouraged them to tell lies and be silly. Long John was manhandled, and I don't think that was very nice, so I'm afraid I don't think I can forgive him, even though it was very, very funny.
Brother Matthew.
I'm going to forgive, because he turned this class around, didn't he? Like your man in Dead Poets. Got them all going in the same way, and then a bit of fake news there about the leg, but question authority. There's a lesson, isn't it? Question authority, kids, and that's what they ended up doing.
I'm not quite sure of your reasoning there.
Taking the leg off. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession, which comes from Nigel, is we've had so many lots of confessions. They fall into certain categories, and this is a school prank. But I don't think we've had anything like it before.
Wow. Okay. Ooh, okay. Here we go.
So we're in kind of Bash Street Kids territory, slash sort of soap opera drama slash Line of Duty.
Oh wow.
We're there. Nigel says, I've never bothered writing into a radio station before, but I thought this prank of mine was a bit too good not to share with your good selves. During my school days, I was, let's just say, a bit of a Jack the Lad, to say the least, and was forever getting into mischief mostly innocent, typical lad stuff. I also kept similar company in my friendship circle, and as such had one particular friend, Sid, and here's the sentence, that did not attend school at all. Not at all.
Oh.
He never, ever went to school. Now, obviously, there's a whole other story here.
Yes.
But for various reasons, Sid is unschooled.
Yes.
And one day, says Nigel, I had a light bulb moment. Wouldn't it be nice and slightly entertaining if Sid was able to experience all the wonderful joys that a normal school day could bring just for one day? He could be a new boy just for one day and then disappear. That would be fun. So the recruitment began for the shoes, trousers, shirt, tie and blazer. Once we had his lovely new uniform, we got him dressed up, shoes polished, hair combed, and he was ready to embrace a whole new life of learning. Well, a whole new day of learning. So there's me, a pupil of Porridge Court, with Sid, same age, of no school at all. Into school, we proudly walk into the first lesson, English. I confidently stood up at the start of class and announced to the teacher we had a new boy in attendance. Without even blinking, the teacher handed him his new English book and a brand new work planner. How pleased I felt that we had at least got one lesson done. Didn't stop there. Second lesson, no problem. Sir, this is Sid. Here's a book. Sit down. Third lesson, a breeze. Sir, this is Sid. Fine. Sit down. Here's a book. Fourth lesson, however, we had become increasingly confident in our little trick and began to play up. It must have been a nightmare. Unbeknownst to us, the teacher decided to write a note to the head teacher, informing him that Nigel and the new boy Sid had been playing up. Upon receiving the letter, just my luck, our headmaster Grimes happened to be having a meeting with the local police.
Oh, unlucky.
To whom we were both well known.
Oh, right.
Due to our out of school activities.
Okay.
So when the head read the letter, he obviously said, "What new boy?" And told the police his name, and they responded by saying, "He shouldn't be anywhere near the school, let alone in it." So they then spent the whole of the lunch break scouting for us, but to no avail because we were hiding behind the boiler in the janitor's room. However, then came the fifth lesson, and we turned up. We were back, but now, with four teachers in a posse, they quickly rounded us up and sent us off to the head teacher's office.
Oh, wow.
Both sets of parents were called to come and collect us. Sid was arrested.
Arrested?
For trespassing, and I was suspended for 3 weeks for plotting with an intruder.
Okay.
So you see, we moved into slightly different territory here.
Yeah, yeah.
My mother was busy at the time and couldn't collect me, so my father had to leave work. He picked me up, put me in his van, and he said these words to me. Probably still one of the proudest moments of my life, Father Simon. Son, I've got to take you home now and tell you off in front of your mother. But me and the lads at work have said 10 out of 10 for originality. I seek forgiveness for what I thought was a harmless prank, and apparently so did my father. I think this is firmly under the heading of he doesn't need any forgiveness. He's still very proud of the fact that he got Sid into school for 2/3 of a day. Now, obviously, we don't condone any of this. Uh-huh. But very, very inventive from Nigel and from Sid. They nearly got away with it. Sister Susie.
Well, Nigel and Sid, you know, your dad was right. 10 out of 10 for originality there, I think. However, you seemed very pleased with yourself, and I don't think you're asking for forgiveness at all. And you know what? You're not going to get it from me, because you that was just silly. It was silly. You were suspended. That shows you how bad it was. What about this poor boy's parents? What, they didn't know where they were.
Yes, well, who knows? I suspect there's a whole story there.
Yeah, I'll bet. Yeah.
It's the teachers I was feeling sorry for, actually. Imagine having Nigel in your class anyway.
Bit of a handful, that's what I'd say.
If he
on the report
himself,
card. Yeah.
He says mostly innocent, typical lad stuff. I think that word mostly is working very hard in that sentence. Anyway. Yes, let's see what Brother Matthew makes.
Yeah, interesting that we have had so many school confessions, and this one is. It's completely new. I've never heard of someone cheating to get an education. Ah, look at me pulling the wool over your eyes by turning up to your class and filling out my book.
Yes. Most of the teachers are going, fine,
yeah,
sit
yeah,
down.
There you go. Here's double maths. Well done. Joke's on you. I'm going to forgive. I'm not sure plotting with an intruder. I'm not a solicitor, but I'm going to wonder whether that's a charge. and for reasons allied to that, I'm going to forgive.
For reasons allied to that.
It's my new thing. For reasons allied to that, I think it's a winner. I'm going to forgive.
So we're in a courtroom drama there.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Crown Court.
I suggest, Your Honour, that he's guilty not just on that charge, but for all the other reasons connected to it.
Correct. To that, Get out of that.
Anyway, that was very good. And if you have a confession for us, of course, don't forget, if we use it on the show, you get a smart speaker as well. So time to dust off a classic next as we delve into the crypt. This week, at the request of Louise. Father Simon, Brother Matthew, Sister Susie, I'm writing because last year, on a drive back from a friend's, I heard a gym confession involving juice, weights, treadmills, and four people dressed all in white. I'm wondering if you'd be able to play the confession again on archive, as I've mentioned it to my friend, and I think he'd enjoy listening to it. I also never got to hear if he was pardoned or not, as my journey finished before I could find out. I do remember laughing a lot, and it was the first one I'd heard since finding Greatest Hits last year, and it's now become my favourite radio station.
Quite right. Uh-huh. Well done.
I hope you're able to. In fact, we should definitely send something to the person who praises us the most.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
How are we determining
what a competition
how,
that is.
How they're going to praise us the most?
I think it's the one that makes us feel most warm.
Okay.
Ah.
Anyway, says Louise, hope you're able to find the confession and look forward to hearing it on the podcast. Well, it was successfully retrieved. We called it Get Down On It.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Tufty, thank you very much indeed. Simon and the kind umpires of forgiveness. I seek forgiveness for an incident in the gym about 10 years ago. Gym-based confessions, we like them.
Yeah.
Being slightly north of 40, a little overweight and mostly unfit, I was probably best described as an enthusiastic trier. As enthusiastic trier, and as ever on this occasion, I was feeling it. I was armed with my trusty water bottle, filled with a generous dilution of a well-known blackcurrant juice, and a selection of Guns N' Roses power tracks.
Oh, that's the way.
On my noise-cancelling headphones. Check me out. Yeah. I headed into the gym confident I would set a few personal bests, whatever they are. I would always start with a gentle warm-up on the cycling machine, but after a short time, sweating already, I noticed two couples walking up to the running machines. All four of them stood in a row with their immaculate sporting physiques, matching white shorts just above the knee and perfect creases ironed down the front. Who has ironed gym clothes? Nobody, real. They had identical pale blue shirts and white collars. The two men didn't have a hair out of place, and the two ladies had lovely flowing blonde locks. They looked perfect, annoyingly perfect. More ready to walk down the catwalk than put in some serious gym time. They were the strutting peacocks in the farmyard, and it's my farmyard. Anyway, I took it personally. They had a little discussion as they set the running machines up, and then in a coordinated effort, they all pressed go together. Pathetic preening newcomers, I thought, as I watched them with their pulled-up white socks and their matching trainers with gold trim. They do have annoyingly good form, however, as my five-minute warm-up came to its conclusion. I staggered off to do some other exercises with the occasional irritated glance back. They were still going, perfect form and not a bead of sweat on any of them. A while later, I moved on to the rowing machine. My gym had four of them altogether, and the immaculate people had just sat at three of them. I was hesitant to use the fourth, but was saved from embarrassment as immaculate person number four stood up from the weight bench just opposite and joined them before I got there. He left his weights on the floor for some commoner like me to put them away. As the rowing machines were now all in use, I thought, okay, well, I'll do some weights. His newly vacated sweaty space on the bench was spare with abandoned weights next to it. I noticed the dumbbells he had rudely left were quite a bit heavier than I usually used, but I was not going to put them back on the rack for him and pick up the lighter ones. No way he might see me. I thought, I can do this. Straining, I picked his weights up, rolled onto my back and managed to lift them aloft the first time, thinking, oh, heck, these are a bit heavy, but I was now committed. Can I just say, you probably don't know which way this one is going to go.
Right.
There was no way I could do one rep and then surrender to my normal weight with the immaculate people watching. I imagined them discussing my struggles whilst they rowed in sweat-free harmony. I managed to lift the weights a second time, took a slight pause at the top. It was about now that I realised I was in trouble, as a slight twitch in my left arm knocked me off balance, and I had no alternative other than to bail out and bring the weights down in a semi-controlled crash down on each side of my bench. Thud on one side, thud on the other side, and I lay there for a moment, broken, eyes closed, thinking about how I could save some dignity in front of the immaculate people. Axl Rose was singing Knock Knock Knocking on Heaven's Door through my headphones as I sat up and opened my eyes. There was a scene of devastation unfolding right in front of me. The immaculate people had changed from perfect white into livid tie-dyed purple. They stood examining each other, dripping in a mysterious dark purple fluid. The white wall behind them had also turned purple with four white silhouettes. Well, this is odd, I wondered as I reached down for my trusty water bottle that was now flat and entirely empty with a 32-kilogram dumbbell sitting on top of it. One of the immaculate people walked across to me, handed me the top of my water bottle and said, I think this is yours, with a stare that could turn milk sour. Well, that was a waste of blackcurrant, was the only thing I could say, as I hastily vacated the area to the changing rooms. And then I'm afraid Tufty loses something. He says, I said to the assistant, the duty person, there's a bit of a mess in the waiting area, in the weights area. If you could just see to... I stayed away from the gym for a week afterwards and never saw the immaculate people again. Making sound so they're from outer space. I don't seek forgiveness from the immaculate people, as it was their fault for not putting their weights away in the first place and expecting someone else to do it. Oh, a bit like you did.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone else was caught in the crossfire, but I would seek their forgiveness if there was anyone in the crossfire, which there definitely wasn't. I would like to seek forgiveness from the gym cleaning staff and the duty person dealing with the incident, and finally forgiveness from the gym itself that had to bring decorators in to remove the purple stains with four perfect white silhouettes from the wall. Makes it sound as though it was like blood spatter, which is a fantastic thing. Oh, good.
Nice fade.
Nice control. Nice control. Billy boxing gloves there. Sister Susie, going first there from the pub.
Oh, well, do you know what, Tufty? I was with you for quite a while of that. You know, I like that you're an enthusiastic trier. You know, you did really well. Those people definitely sounded annoying. However, it wasn't their fault, was it? Because it was your fault for not just being, you know, strong enough to put those weights down and use ones that were the right weight for you. You shouldn't have gone big. You should have just gone normal. And also letting the other people know that there was a mess and not telling them that you did it. That wasn't very fair. So I'm not going to forgive you.
A brother from another gutter.
Gyms are just the worst, mainly because of, obviously, other people with their weights and their tops and their sweat.
They're usually actors and waiting for a part.
Oh, aren't they just... Oh, dear. No, I am definitely going to forgive on this because it strikes me that Tufty really didn't want to go back to that gym anymore, and frankly I'm with him or her. I can't remember with Tufty. Could be either. So I am definitely forgiving and find more paradise sitting in a Guns N' Roses kind of way.
Good.
Yes, no. I think so. Paradise sitting.
Simon Mayo's confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
I mean, that's terrible.
Paradise sitting. Wow.
I was in a gym once with Anna Kournikova.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Go on.
Who turned a few heads.
I'll bet she did, yeah.
And then, I think I've told you before, Justin Bieber was in.
Yeah. Wasn't that in the sauna?
To get some privacy, he went into the sauna, and I thought, well, I'm a member of this gym. I'm going in as well. So there was Justin Bieber, the bloke he was shouting at, and me. Anyway.
Okay.
Wow. He wasn't having it. He was blaming somebody.
Yeah.
He was blaming somebody in the steam room.
Yeah.
And so I thought I'd go in and listen.
Oh, I'll have some of that, you thought.
Yeah. And we were all wearing towels.
Everyone has to wear the towels in the sauna.
Did you say gusset?
I said gossip.
Oh, gossip.
Wearing, okay.
It's a new feature. Gossip from the gusset.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you'd like to request a classic confession, as many clues as you can give us,
Yes.
Don't just say it was the one when I was driving down the M3
yes.
eating a Mars bar.
I don't know.
Send all this stuff to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Over to brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase, which this week is even more secret and more important because spies working to further the Enlightenment and the democratic cause. Behind the jackboot of communist oppression.
I mean, there was a late call for gusset there, wasn't there? We could have had something with gusset. But instead, I'm going to go with up with the Enlightenment. There you go.
Okay, that's
up
very good.
With the Enlightenment. And so, let's see if that gets past the censors. Yeah.
This will be very, very exciting. So we would like, if you're listening to us whilst under the jackboot of oppression anywhere, let us know whether
that's the last podcast. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. Going out on a boom.
So if you've listened so far, then that is the phrase to remember. And you get in touch either with your local spy or you can tweet at Simon Mayo or on Threads, Mr. Simon Mayo, or also on Blue Sky.
Blue Sky, that's about Blue as effective Sky. As getting in contact with your local spy, I would say.
There are many people now
are there really?
Joining Blue Sky just so that
literally
they can
handfuls.
Say, tell Matt that I have joined Blue Sky because he says no one's on here. It's a very nice place.
I'm sure it is. Lots of room.
Yeah.
That's what I've
heard. Anyway, don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe, and tell everybody about our fabulous podcast. From the pub, until next time, Sister Susie says...
Bye-bye.
Okay, that's good. It's like 1960s TV.
It is,
comedy.
Isn't it? Yeah.
From his gutter, Brother Matthew.
Goodbye.
And thank you for listening. We'll be back next Friday. Or if you'd like to listen to the whole program, not just the cut down version
here.
I mean,
isn't there? You know,
we're live Monday to Friday,
literally
4
every
till
day.
7. Thank you very much.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.